Now move to the last case for the day, which is United States v. Lange. Your call.
Thank you, Judge. May it please the Court, Counsel. I'm Brian Threlkeld, Federal Public Defender's Office, the Central District of Illinois. I'm arguing on behalf of Brian Lange. The issue is whether the district court erred in applying the four-level enhancement under the guideline where Mr. Lange swapped a gun for some cocaine. In doing so, Mr. Lange transferred the gun, but he did not use it under the guideline. Now, the district court and the government have cited the Supreme Court's 1993 decision in Smith as authority for concluding that Mr. Lange's employment of a gun as an instrument of barter warrants application of the offense level enhancement. The district court and the government have, however, overread Smith. The decision in Smith states that the court read 924C in light of the common meaning of the word use and the structure and language of the statute. The structure and language of the guideline are different from 924C, and they require the conclusion that the guideline, that in the guideline, the meaning of the word used does not encompass the meaning of transferred. Now, lest the court be misled by the precedent that the government has cited in support of its case, the decisions from other circuits do not convincingly support the government's position. Their strongest case is Garnett, the 2001 case from the Fourth Circuit. Now, that was a case where a defendant had traded his gun or a gun for some drugs. But in that case, the Fourth Circuit did not analyze the structure and language of the guideline. Instead, they looked simply at the Supreme Court's decision in Smith on 924C and assumed that that decision compelled the conclusion that the word used in the guideline encompassed the meaning of transferred the gun or trading the gun. Now, in addition, the Garnett court was far more concerned with the issue of whether the defendant in that case had committed another felony offense, and they sent it back to the district court for determination on that issue. But again, the Garnett court did not address the textual and structural and language issues that we have raised in this case. And in my research, I haven't been able to find any other court of appeals that has addressed those aspects of the guideline. Now, the government argues that the employment of the term used in the guideline is expansive, but that analysis is undermined by the language and structure of the guideline. If the commission's meaning in employing the word used was that expansive, then it could have used or employed simply the word used for either in connection with a felony offense or in connection or when the defendant should have known that the gun would have been used in another felony offense. The word used is broad in meaning, but it's not limitless in meaning. And statutory construction, the canons of statutory construction, require us when we have several terms that are used in this guideline, it requires us to find that, in fact, that the words are not superfluous, that they don't overlap in meaning, and that they have to be given distinctive and different meanings. It's useful to note here that Mr. Lange employed the gun only as the equivalent of money. The district court found this, and the government has conceded this. In other words, he used it purely as an economic instrumentality. The guidelines, it's useful to note, don't provide for enhanced offense level when a defendant uses other things in connection with a drug offense. You can use money in connection with a drug offense. If you rode a bus to get to where you were conducting the transaction, you could use a bus. You could say that you used a bus. And that's for good reason. There is obviously reason for being concerned about the ills that arise from the combination of drugs and guns in illegal transactions. But they're meant to address the problems of, or rather the ills that happen when a gun is used or employed as, at least with a potential for violence. In this case, again, he was using it purely as an economic instrumentality, and he transferred the gun, and that is covered by the second phrase within the guideline. And for that reason, it should not be subsumed or swallowed up by the word used in the first portion of the guideline. We also note again that the rule of lenity compels a decision in favor of Mr. Lang. The court in Smith found that Congress's intent in 924C was clear, and that in employing the word used, Congress intended a broad meaning that would encompass the meaning of trading, a meaning that included trading a gun for drugs. But in this case, we can't say that the meaning of the guideline and the intent of the commission is clear, because the commission used the word transferred or employed the word transferred in one portion of the guideline, but instead it employed the word used in the first. Now, that implies that the commission intended a distinction between the words transferred and used, and between the meanings of those words. So here, where there is ambiguity, the rule of lenity would indicate that the guideline should not be interpreted to the detriment of Mr. Lang. We note also that on pages 12 and 13 of its brief, the government argues that the text of the guideline gives no reason to think that the Sentencing Commission intended the term used to exclude a firearm's use as an item of trade or barter. Now, the government has it the wrong way around. In parallel passages in the guideline, the commission chose to employ the word used in one passage and transferred in another. Again, standard statutory construction requires the presumption that those are not synonymous terms. So there is no reason to think, contrary to what the government is arguing, that the commission intended otherwise. I'll, of course, be happy to entertain any questions that the court may have. If not, for the reasons stated, we ask that the court find that under the terms of the guideline, Mr. Lang did not use a gun in connection with a drug offense, to vacate his sentence and to remand to the district court for resentencing at offense level 21. Thank you
very much.
May it please the Court. My name is Mark Carner. I'm an assistant United States attorney employed in the Northern District of Illinois Western Division and appear on behalf of the United States. Your Honor, in this case, the district court properly enhanced the defendant's sentence under Guideline Section 2K2.1B6 because it found that the defendant used a firearm in connection with the felony offense of possession of cocaine by actively employing that firearm as an item of barter. Support for our position is found, first of all, in the plain meaning of the term use as referred to by the Supreme Court in the Smith decision, that is, to actively employ. Here, in this case, the defendant Lang used the gun, actively employed it to acquire a quantity of cocaine. But for his use or active employment of that firearm, he would not have obtained the cocaine. It's also important to note that there is nothing in the language of the guidelines that supports the narrow interpretation given or sought to be given by the defendant. There is nothing in that language that suggests to qualify as use, the gun has to be used in an intimidating or threatening manner. Third, the Fourth Circuit, in fact, very close to ours in the Garnett decision, found that person's exchange in that case of a machine gun for a quantity of cocaine was use, fit the definition of use under this guideline provision. Our position is supported by analogous case of Smith versus the United States. In Smith, as this court is well aware, that the term use was analyzed in connection with 18 U.S.C. 924C. And last, there is no case law that supports the defendant's narrow interpretation of this word. So unless there's any further questions by the court, I'm happy to answer. I'll sit down.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. Nothing further.
Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow at 9:30.